Even Mokoro, Yolly Holly Mokoro, Yolly, Even Mokoro, Yolly Ho, Opening Mokoro, Even Mokoro, Yolly Holly Mokoro, Yolly, Even Mokoro, Yolly Ho, Opening Mokoro, Yolly, Isen Mokoro.
Und die Kauf kann's auch vergeben. Wenn du willst, kannst du mal versuchen, alter Coiner auf den Tisch. Nee, nee, da blieb bloß eins, exakt man Fisch. Früher haben wir Piola, doch die können uns nicht retten. Den Hüt auch hin, wie Zweck ist, und die kann's nicht hätten. Wenn du willst, kannst du mal versuchen, alter Coiner auf den Tisch. Doch die schmeckt nach Sinn, nicht der Original hit dran ist. Exakt man Fisch. Na, wat, nur, wat schon wie denn nur hätten? Chaos wie ein Schaf und Hound, die kann's auch mal vergeben. Wenn du willst, kannst du mal versuchen, aber es tönt mit auf den Tisch. Und die Katze haben die, oh, exakt man Fisch. Du blickst doch mal da träumtig, da schaut's mal nur den Garten. Da musst anbeten, träumen, denn kannst baggern mit ins Baden. Zippeln, Tiffen, Abend ist den Anu auf den Tisch. Und dann gibt's halt oben noch Pudding. Und der Weg mal upfrischen.
Fisch.
Well, to start with the title of the presentation I've been asked to have today, operative solutions and measures related to grant applications in the non-profit sector, applications, guidelines, etc., case study EU, I think that we cannot speak about any type of solutions and measures for NGOs before we try to grasp the whole concept of EU relationship with the NGOs, EU policies. This is this only way for the NGOs to find themselves the measures, because this is actually a question of strategy, long-term strategy for the NGOs. So I chose to present today four main parts. First of all, the EU relationship with NGOs in the EU needs for NGOs. Secondly, to try to look at the way the EU is implementing this relationship with NGOs. Thirdly, and necessarily, what are all the basic principles of EU grants, which is more an administrative way of looking at the thing. And in the last part, I'd like to have a quick review of the EU programs which are specially designed for NGOs in Slovenia and what perspective around that. So first of all, why a relationship between the European Union and NGOs? What's the need for the European Union to deal with NGOs? The relationship between NGOs and the European Commission has to first be seen in the framework of the democratic decision-making process of the European institutions. Even though, of course, the decision-making process in the European Union is first and foremost legitimized by the elected representatives of the European people, NGOs make a valuable contribution to it in fostering a more participatory democracy both within the EU and beyond. The right of citizens to form associations to pursue common purpose is a fundamental freedom in a democracy. Consequently, NGOs are increasingly recognized by the EU and its member states as a significant component of civil society and as providing valuable support for a democratic system of government. This is definitely of particular relevance in the context of enlargement. As you all know, I suppose, according to the so-called Copenhagen criteria, membership in the EU requires that the candidate country, like is Slovenia, has achieved stability of institutions guaranteeing democracy, the rule of law, human rights, and respect for and protection of minorities. NGOs are representing the views to the European institutions of specific groups of citizens, such as people with disabilities, ethnic minorities, or even on specific issues, such as the environment, world trade. In particular, many NGOs have an ability to reach the poorest and most disadvantaged and to provide a voice for those not sufficiently heard through other channels. Through the links at local, regional, national and European level, NGOs can provide expert input for EU policymaking. In particular, they can provide feedback on the success or otherwise of specific policies, thereby contributing to the Commission's task of defining and implementing policies by fully taking into account its overall public policy responsibility. Besides, NGOs contribute specific expertise to managing, monitoring, and evaluating projects financed by the EU. The contribution of NGOs is particularly important in tackling social exclusion and discrimination, protecting the natural environment, and the provision of humanitarian and development aid. The expertise and dedication of NGO staff, their willingness to work under difficult operational conditions, mean that NGOs are vital partners for the European Commission. So overall, we can say that NGOs perform the role of contributing to the European institutions' task, not only in relation to the Commission, but also the European Parliament, the Economic and Social Committee, and the Committee of the Regions and the Council. Thirdly, but as important as the two first point, like legitimization and contribution to European institutions' task, the NGO are contributing to the public acceptance of the EU. The involvement of the NGOs in policy shaping and policy implementation helps to win public acceptance for the EU in general. This is, again, particularly true in the case of the candidate countries. Furthermore, EU policies are the best communicated to specific and local target audiences by the NGOs themselves as they are representing the interests of these specific groups of citizens. A good example of this role played by NGOs in Slovenia itself is the appearance last year of the program of the delegation, which is called the Small Projects Program. For an example, in Slovenia, for projects running in 2001, 150,000 euros have been dedicated. And also by encouraging national NGOs to work together to achieve common goals, the European NGO networks are making an important contribution to the formation of a so-called European public opinion, which is usually seen as a prerequisite to the establishment of a true political entity. At the same time, this also contributes to promoting European integration in a practical way, and very often at grassroots level. So the obvious political will of the European Union to strengthen its relationship with NGOs and civil society as a whole, of course, on the basis of democratic principles, is it implemented in such a way that it comes to its point? This is what we're going to see in the second part of this presentation. To start with figures, as usually the NGO looking at the EU is more a question of money, it is estimated that over 1,000 million euros a year is allocated to NGO projects directly by the European Commission. The major part of it in this field is external relations for development cooperation, human rights, democracy programs, and humanitarian aid. This part represents about 400 million of euros a year. Other important allocations are in the social, around 70 million, educational, around 50 million, and environment sectors within the EU. However, although the Commission's current practice clearly proves its willingness to maintain and strengthen its partnership with NGOs, the structures and the procedures involved have not kept up with this. The complexity of EC policies, as well as the growing number of regulations and funding sources, usually commonly called budget lines, coupled with recent financial security problems, have created a great deal of uncertainty for NGOs about cooperation with the European Commission. In the first part of this implementation, we would look at the way the relationship with the NGOs is coordinated. The European Commission is the EU institution in charge with implementing the policies of the European Union, and it's only one of its five institutions. It's divided in lots of directorates general, which are kind of ministries. In fact, the EU cooperation with NGOs is organized by policy areas like environment, social affairs, and it's definitely run by different directorates general of the Commission. This is implying considerable differences in the relationship between NGOs and the Commission from one sector to another, regarding especially access to information, the way dialogue and consultation is organized, but also the availability and the conditions of funding. The political will of cooperating with NGOs is not translated into structured access to information and funds for the NGOs. There is, for example, not such a body of the European Commission to coordinate, give coherence, and ensure equal access to its programs and funding for NGOs. Consequently, there is a lack of sufficient information for NGOs, in particular on funding and financial procedures. This model is well reproducing at the level of Slovenia, where, beside the three programs specifically designed for NGOs, democracy, SPP and access, that will come later on in presenting in more detail, a number of community programs are opened and will be more and more open to Slovenian NGOs, and they are managed by sector through the national competent ministries. Beside the lack of coordination, there are also lots of administrative constraints on this relationship between the Commission and the NGOs. There are a series of challenges facing the Commission in managing those grants that are awarded under its direct responsibility. One of the fundamental problems of the Commission is the low ratio of staff to financial resources managed compared with similar managerial structures in the member states or even in international organizations. In order to cope with the situation, the Commission has developed a range of different management schemes, the common features of which is the delegation of certain administrative or support activities to various bodies, including NGOs, outside the Commission. To make it more precise, I took the example of the three Commission-run programs for NGOs in Slovenia because I think they are well illustrating the purpose. The democracy program is actually managed by the Commission in Brussels, but it's given to intermediary body in Brussels, a Brussels-based NGO, which is responsible for managing the program in all the beneficiary countries. Which is actually a very good point, because it's giving some coherence to the program in all, and it's enabling and ensuring equal conditions for application in different countries. But at the same time, and parallelly, to ensure the local situation is taken into account and the local needs met, the delegation of the Commission in Slovenia and each beneficiary country is actually responsible to manage the grants. That means defining the amount of the grants, the priority policy areas, the timetable of selection process, the implementation of the projects, and so on. So finally, a local NGO, in our case a Slovene NGO, is chosen by the Brussels-based NGO in order to serve the delegation as technical assistant in the beneficiary country. In the case we are mentioning, I suppose a lot of NGOs are remembering, that meant that at some point the Commission in Brussels had difficulty in the financial security structures and didn't manage to sign the contract with the Brussels-based NGO. So the program Democracy was not launched in Slovenia and have been all waiting and waiting. And then finally, when they managed to sign the contract, also for financial security structures reason, they've been changing the way they are authorizing the expenditure for the delegation. So we have been waiting and waiting. When finally both the elements were in place in order to launch the program, we were a bit late, so it was not possible anyway to use the previous budget. So we've been waiting again. And when finally we launched the program, there were only 6 months left with the contract between the Brussels-based NGO and the Commission. So in all, we launched the democracy program 1.5 years later than it was planned, and the projects have to be run in 6 months' time. So I would say the consequences of this complicated administrative structure and the different levels of contracting through these different NGOs, meanwhile, the results were considerable delays in implementing the program and also handling applications, badly adapted lengths of projects, and, I'm sure, a breakdown of confidence from the NGO side. Then you have the SPP, which is again managed in a different way. It's directly managed by the delegation, but it has the technical assistance of a Slovene NGO, this time directly contracted by the delegation. And for the Far Access Program, the grant is managed by the delegation itself. So you see, out of a very small country like Slovenia, 3 EU programs designed for NGOs, you already have 4 intermediary bodies to manage the grant, which is definitely complicating dialogue on EU co-financing. Beside the use of intermediary agencies to solve its administrative constraints, the European Commission is also, in many cases, opting for concentrating the available resources on a smaller number of larger projects with a view to reducing the administrative burden of grant management. You will say, why, after all, if they have intermediary agencies, what's the point? Because while the intermediary agencies are running the tender and the selection process, the responsibility of contracting with the NGOs, of checking the reports and of the payments, always lies with the Commission services. Definitely by giving priority to larger projects, the Commission discouraging applications from small NGOs, often the source of innovative ideas, or is excluding funding for small projects, where these may most answer the needs or the EU priorities. At this point of the presentation, I think the context in which the EU grants are evolving has been already well settled. Now, how does all that imply on the requirements of an application and selection criteria for EU grants? I would say first we have to take into account the taxpayers' constraints. The application forms are the expression of the way in which the Commission applies its procedures that are aimed at ensuring the sound management of community funds. As the taxpayers' money must be spent in a judicious, economic, and transparent way, the award and management of EU grants are subject to specific conditions and requirements to be fulfilled by the applicant organization notably in terms of its capacity, both operational, technical and managerial, and financial. At the same time, some characteristics of the NGO sector, such as the small size of the organizations, a sometimes tight cash flow situation, difficulties in providing financial guarantees, may well mean that their internal structure and capacities are not necessarily well adapted to meet the administrative requirements placed on them by the EU institutions. When it comes to the precise conditions and requirements to be fulfilled, the Commission's Vademecum on Grant Management, which is a document available on the webpage of the European Union, is providing the minimum procedures and standards that must always be observed in a EU grant management. Even though this document is very well accessible, I tried here to make a kind of summarize, a kind of overview of the most important points, and especially in terms of Slovenian NGOs, of Slovenian experience. I try to put an emphasis on the points which are not usually commonly used by, let's say, tenders of a kind of Slovenian ministry, for example. So as for basic requirements of the application itself to be received, there is a special way of treating incomplete applications. For example, an application will be considered incomplete, not just if it's not signed, for instance, or if not all the questions on the application form have been answered, but also if it's not accompanied by all the annexes listed on the application form, usually balanced budget, adequate description of the project, statutes of the organization. Regarding the administrative constraints we've been talking about earlier on, the possibilities for the applicant to complete its application are very seldom exception. In short, if you forget something, your application form is going to go directly to the bin. Eligibility of applicants. Here, this is very important to have a proper legal status. Given the wide variation in laws relating to NGOs in different countries, I thought of use to define the term NGO like it is understood by the EU institutions. The term NGO usually refers to a range of organizations that share the following characteristics: do not generate personal profit, are voluntary in the meaning that they are formed voluntarily and have an element of voluntary participation. They are distinguished from informal or ad hoc groups by having some degree of formal or institutional existence. Let's say, governing documents setting out their mission, objectives and scope. They are accountable to their members and donors. They are independent, in particular of government, political parties, or commercial organizations. They are not self-serving in aims and related values. Their aim is to act in the public arena, at large, on concerns and issues related to the well-being of people or society as a whole. They are not pursuing the commercial or professional interests of their members. So remember, when you put an application, that this is the minimum definition of the NGOs for the European institution. Then, on the application form, the application's financial capacity. Applications are required to have stable sources of finances and will be asked to include with the application form their annual accounts for the last financial year, and in some cases, an explicit undertaking from each co-financing organization. Again, it will be closely looked at the applicant's technical capacity. In general, you will be asked to provide curriculum vitae of the staff. Another specificity of the application for EU grants is that the projects for which an application has been made must not, as the EU rule, have started yet. Now, on what basis your application is going to become an awarded grant? In other words, what are the minimum criteria and the criteria which are always looked at in an application for your grants? Definitely the projects must match the objectives defined by the Commission, usually in the guidelines. The expected results of the project must further the policy objective of the programme. The results, as described in the application form, must be measurable, so that the extent to which they have been achieved can be monitored, checked, and subsequently evaluated. A further result that can be taken into account is whether or not the award of a grant will contribute towards sustaining an organization whose existence is useful for achieving the policy objective of the program. The project must be cost-effective. Let's say, do the probable results stand in a reasonable relationship to the amount of the grant? Have better ways of achieving these results been overlooked? Is there a way in which the same or equivalent results could be achieved with less cost to the EU budget, including the cost of administration? The breakdown of the budget, category by category, offers a way of ensuring that the amount of the grant awarded is the minimum necessary for the project to be completed. So here we are ready, at the budget. The budget will have to be expressed in euros as a rule. Eligible costs will have to be distinguished from any ineligible costs. There can be some contributions in kind, and here we should further that, because contributions in kind are often questions by the NGOs on what does that mean, really? The EU Commission understands the contribution in kind like small organizations in particular often apply for part of their contribution to the cost of a project to be in kind. Such contributions in kind must appear on both sides of the forward budget. On the income side, as the money equivalent to the services or materials contributed, and as an equal amount to the expenditure side, but separately from the rest of the budget, since they cannot count as eligible costs. In particular, contributions in kind include land, immovable property, whether in its entirety or in part, durable capital goods, raw materials, and the most usual, unpaid charity work by a private individual or corporate body. Where contributions in kind are taken into account, the community contribution is limited to the level of actual expenditure incurred. In other words, to total eligible costs, excluding the value of contributions in kind. And the budget you are going to present in your application form will then be incorporated in the grant agreement if the project is chosen. And this is a very important point, because once you're going to run your project, any change which you wish it you wish to have made to the terms of the agreement that would imply a change in the basic purpose or nature of the project must be submitted for prior approval by the Commission. Such changes must be set out in an addendum to the agreement. Only where the change does not affect the basic purpose of the project and the financial impact is limited to a transfer between headings from the budget involving an increase of less than 10%, in this case the beneficiary may apply the change, providing they inform the Commission without delay. And it brings us, naturally, to the final amounts you're going to get from the European Commission grant. Because the final amount of the grant only becomes final after completion of the project and presentation of the final accounts. In no circumstances, of course, can the final Commission grant be higher than set out in the agreement. But it can be reduced. There are three cases where the EU institutions are going to reduce your grants. First, that total income, including interest on advance payments, exceeded total expenditure. In this case, the Commission grant is reduced by the excess amount. Second case, eligible costs are less than the agreed budget, in which case the Commission grant is reduced proportionally. And the last case, that the amount of eligible costs minus income generated by the project is less than the grant. In this case, the Commission again will reduce the excess amount. Now we have in our hands all the basic principles, all the basic key in terms of looking at EU grants. What's the situation of the EU programs designed for NGOs in Slovenia? As we already mentioned, there were up to now three programs directly designed for NGOs. The FAR Small Projects Program, which is supporting projects that raise awareness on European integration and EU accession issues, and they increase the visibility of the European Union in Slovenia. The project's proposal should address priority areas in the preparation of Slovenia's accession to the European Union, Top projects should promote harmonization of legislation, the effective implementation of the EU legislation, and the awareness raising on EU policies. For the call for tenders, the last one in December 19, not 2000, the priority sectors were the internal market, justice and home affairs, agriculture and rural development, regional policy, European Monetary Union, social policy and employment. The grants varied between 10,000 and 50,000 euros. The level of co-financing by the applicant organization was 50%. The overall budget for projects running in 2001, 150,000 euros. Second program, which is just now in the process of selection, was the Far Access program, which is a brand new program, also in Slovenia, of course, but in general. The aim of the Access program is to strengthen the institutional capacity of non-governmental and non-profit organizations, so a bit wider definition as the one I gave before, and to support the activities related to the adoption and implementation of so-called acquis communautaire in two fields: environmental protection, socio-economic development. It is also supporting activities in the social sector, enabling social reintegration, promote sustainable health and social support for marginalized groups of the population, like minority groups, disabled, elderly, homeless, and so on. Actually, it's included the former Lien program that we knew in Slovenia already. The novelty of this program is that it was divided, and it's still divided, in three parts. The macro projects, which were up to 100,000 euro for one project, with 80% of co-financing. Micro projects up to 50,000 euros, 80% of co-financing. And the networking facility. The networking facility is to enable NGOs or NPOs in Slovenia to participate in multinational activities, meetings and conferences organized by NGOs in the EU member states or other candidate countries. For the overall program, the projects were going to be chosen soon and run in 2001, there was a budget of 325,000 euros. And the European Initiative for Democracy and Human Rights, we've been talking quite a lot already about, which is aiming at supporting projects which promote human rights, the rule of law, and strengthen civil society. The budget available for projects running in 2001 was 70,000 euros. On that theme, I think I have very good news for all the NGOs around. Actually, the Commission launched a few days ago the new European Initiative for Democracy and Human Rights. I'm very sorry I didn't have time to study the programme. It's very different. It's a lot of budget lines which have been given altogether. They are open to enormous amount of countries. And I'm warmly inviting you to have a look at the website of the European Commission, to go on the Common Service for External Relation and then click on Tender. There we'll find the call for proposal for this new program, and I think you can submit application until somewhere the end of March. So please have a look, and we'll try to put that also on the website of Radio Student later on. Now, I had a look at the most frequent questions which have been asked by the Slovenian NGOs concerning the EU programs in Slovenia. Actually, here the European delegation, the delegation of the European Commission in Slovenia, has been collecting this information, which I find myself very useful. So the first most asked questions is about the payments. What are going to be the payments upon the contracts? The answer is usually 80% in advance and 20% after the completion of the project. Then questions on partnership. Could Croatia be a partner? Could Switzerland be a partner? Well, the answer is no, obviously. Do all the activities have to take place in Slovenia? Yes. But can be a seminar be organized in Trieste, for example? No. In the programs actually existing for Slovenian NGOs now, the projects have to be developed in Slovenia itself. Could be a matching contribution be paid out of ministry's fund? Yes, why not? But in this case, it's better than the ministry if contributing in financial resources that it is stated under the budget item in euro. How do you calculate daily allowance? Up to 12 hours and less than 200 kilometers. Is it possible, for example, to apply for two projects within access? No. You can only be once as applicant and once as partner. Another very big concern is, what about the VAT? Can it be covered by the grant? No. FAR grants cannot cover the VAT costs, and it should be carefully considered in the application as a financial contribution of your organization. There are many troubles when the VAT has been included as a part of the EU financing, because at the end of the project, after the completion, actually the EU is not going to refund you the VAT. Can we apply for the networking facility for an activity within the UN? Yes, you can do that, or any other international organization, as long as the activity is connected with the aim of the program and take place in the EU. Can regional development agencies apply as non-profit private firms? This has been a question which came all the time through all the programs. What is the status of a regional development agency? Is it an NGO? Can it apply? Actually, the answer is yes and no. It is very much depending on its statute. How is organized the decision-making within the organization itself? For example, if the municipality has been founding this regional development agency, is it a part of the board? Is it deciding on the policy of the organization? In this case, no. You can't apply because you are not anymore answering the needs of the definition, the basic definition of an NGO. After all, what I found the most interesting and the most frequent questions from the Slovenian NGOs is not really the answers to it. It's more that most of the questions are on payments and money. As you noticed, there are little questions on the projects itself, on the way the project is answering the needs of the EU policy. So maybe it's more showing on the actual situation of the Slovenian NGOs than on a particularity of the EU grants. And this is actually the point where I should come. It's how, what kind of long-term consequences the EU grants principles can have on the Slovenian NGO sector. I would first think in terms of size of the Slovenian NGOs. We said earlier that smaller projects or smaller NGOs are not really in the best position to get the EU grants. So somehow the Slovenian non-governmental sector is in the advantage towards getting these euro grants. I figure out that the Slovenian NGOs will have to form consortia, whether by areas of activities or complementary activities, in order to be able to implement wider projects, including higher expected results. After all, this is maybe also a need for the Slovene, a space for the Slovene society, but I have the feeling that the way EU grants are given is going to force the Slovene non-governmental sector to go towards that solution. Any step towards cooperation, trust, and transfer of know-how between sister organizations will definitely constitute a step towards EU grants. Furthermore, and given the lack of sufficient information given to NGOs on complicated procedures that we saw in the second part of the presentation, form consortia will ameliorate administrative capacity of NGOs involved, and it will be an asset. A consortium of NGOs is better able to hire the service of an expert to trace EU grants in a given area, find its way through procedures, and write proper projects proposals. Secondly, but in the same type of idea, lobbying at the European level will be indispensable. Lobby with similar organizations in the member states of the EU, and from that point, 2001 on, will first give to Slovene NGOs an opportunity of transfer of know-how, possibilities already today to access community programs not yet open to Slovenia as partners. Furthermore, once Slovenia will become a member state, it will give access for such NGOs acting at the European level to major EU grant programs specifically designed for NGOs. As an example, in the case of one of the two programs of the Commission which are specifically designed for NGOs, the program which is called Community Action Program Promoting NGOs Primarily Active in the Field of Environment Protection, the financial contributions to NGOs can as well cover the cost of their annual work program, up to 80% of co-financing. Finally, as well, consortia and lobbying at the European level would be the most useful information channels, which are definite operative measures for Slovenian NGOs. If consortia would be established by sector, let's say, it would be best that the lead organization in the consortium centralize information on EU grants in this sector and provide it to the other members. In any case, after the accession of Slovenia to EU, the best channel of information would be the Department of European Affairs of the government, as the government will be the one to decide in what community program Slovenia is participating. In any case, there should be put a kind of a pressure on the government institution, because they are the only one to have the proper information to the structure to centralize the proper information. And whether it's going to be expressed in a government bureau, a government office for NGOs, or a non-governmental one, doesn't matter so much what's going to be the structure. But the first channel of information would have in the near future to come out of the government.
Mayday, 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 pozicija nejasna.
Znači, gremo na pamet.
Pazi, Miško!
Jadran je po nemirnih vodah menedžmenta nevladnih organizacij lahko spremljate vsak ponedeljek in petek med 9 in 10 uro do povdne na valovih Radio Študent in preko interneta
www.radiostudent.si
v tekstovni in zvočni obliki.
Ljudstva nevladnih organizacij. Združite se na 89,3.